Welcome to More to Come, PW Comics World's weekly podcast on graphic novels and comics publishing. I'm Meg Lemke, PW Comics and Graphic Novel Reviews Editor. Check us out online at publishersweekly.com/comics. This week on More to Come, we're talking with Vedika Khanna, Senior Editor at 10sBeat Graphic, which is one of several new Penguin Random House imprints launched in the last year-ish, a couple years, which is focusing on comics and graphic novels. So welcome to More to Come, Vedika.
Thanks so much for having me. I
Thank
appreciate
you.
it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So can we just dive into the basics? When was 10sBeat Graphic founded as an imprint?
So 10sBeat Graphic was founded last spring, but 10sBeat has actually been publishing graphic novels for almost a decade at this point. So creating 10sBeat Graphic was more of a way for us to kind of make our list formal, to officially put it under an imprint. And it kind of marked our launching our list further into fiction and memoir.
And did you guys kind of grandmothered in all of the prior 10sBeat Graphic comics, or some of them are now, would they reprint under the new imprint?
Yeah, that's right. They'll reprint under 10sBeat Graphic.
Okay, interesting. How many titles is the imprint publishing a year? And like, how many are you personally handling of that?
That's a great question. We are publishing 12 titles this year and have a goal of publishing 20 to 25 titles per year moving forward. So we're trying to expand rapidly and have 50 titles in active development right now that are publishing through 2025 and beyond. Of that, I'd say I'm covering maybe 7 to 8 titles a year, just about, but that'll also probably grow in the coming
Okay.
years.
A year or a season? You're doing 7 to 8 through the whole year.
Right now it's around 7 to 8, but that's probably going to grow to like about maybe 8 to 12, I'd say.
How many colleagues do you have? How many editors?
We have, well, I'm the main editor acquiring for the list. We also have our editorial director, Caitlin Ketchum, and associate editor, Kimi Tejasindhu, who are, kind of the main editors who are publishing 10sBeat Graphic titles. But we also have a bunch of other editors who will do projects with us. We have Zoe Brandt, who is taking on graphic novels as an assistant editor. And we do have, some other folks on the 10sBeat, team who will do the occasional graphic novel as well.
Okay, so like other 10sBeat editors might
Yeah.
pick up a comic and put it onto the imprint. Interesting. So the imprint's still really ramping up. Like you guys are still in, it sounds like you're in heavy acquisition mode if you have 50 in development.
Yeah. It's been an exciting time, honestly, since the imprint launched, and we're just acquiring. We have a lot of exciting projects on our list that are forthcoming, and yeah, we're so excited about graphic novels and are just excited to be, 10sBeat Graphic now officially, and are growing accordingly.
So look, I want to understand from your perspective, and I know that you're speaking from as one editor, but as the main editor acquiring for this list, like what's the mission of 10sBeat? Like what's the brand or flavor or identity of the imprint? Because you've got a really broad range. Like in the last, the number like last books that we've reviewed at PW include, a lighter, playful webtoon to book hit, like Katie Cook's Through the Elder Woods. There's Ai Weiwei's graphic memoir, which we had a big starred review for, which is, philosophical and weighty, within the European cartoonist team. And then you also published Nora Krug's Diaries of War. It's a pretty, there's been these literary adaptations, but that's like everything from Watership Down, adapted to comics, to Hyde, which is like a almost sort of teen friendly, which includes part of my question is like, is it all adult? Are you doing younger adult? Anyways, don't let me try and define it. I want to hear what you have to say. But there's a big range, like a big spread of genres and
There
tastes.
is. Yeah, absolutely. I think our goal in general is to publish really distinctive, high quality graphic novels from a diverse array of the industry's top creators and also emerging voices. And I mean, I think our general stance is, we're publishing a wide range of titles to a broad readership because we believe graphic novels are for everyone and there's no one graphic novel reader. So our goal is that, anyone can take a look at our list and find something that they will enjoy. And I think the fact that we have, a number of editors who can acquire for 10-speed graphic and will put titles on the list reflects that too, that we have editors with different tastes, different likes, different, reading interests who are acquiring for our list.
So what about you? What do you, how do you define what you love to pick up? Like, what's your favorite books on the list, or just generally, what's your personal taste for as an acquisitions editor?
It's so hard to define, and I'd say it is like honestly a really wide range as well. That and I think that's part of why the list ref, I think the list reflects that, especially our newer memoir and fiction titles. I was brought on to help expand the list into fiction and memoir, and so my taste for fiction versus memoir is very different. For fiction, I love genre bending stories. That kind of take old tropes and put them on their head, and I grew up reading fantasy, and actually the first graphic novels I really read were this Indian comic book series called Amartya Thrakatha. My parents are Indian, and so that's kind of where I got my start, and those books cover Indian mythology, and so I've always kind of been a fantasy reader, and so a lot of what I acquire on the fiction side is fantasy or fantasy adjacent, but I'm also interested in like horror and romance and just genre in general. And I think in fiction, I look for books that, are just kind of escapist and really fun and wonderful to pick up, and the kind of book that you want to pick up again and again. And then for memoir, I'd say my taste is more literary. I look for memoir that kind of plays with the form. Largely because I don't have a very good memory. And so I have a hard time when an author's just like, this is what happened. And, this is exactly how it went down. Because I think, you ask 10 people how the same event happened and you'll get 10 different stories. So, I think memoir that acknowledges that memory is tricky, and also uses the personal story to speak more to like, society in general, is always really interesting to me.
Let's back up to talk more about your own background, like your own publishing background. So what led today? You came on as a senior editor, right? So how did you kind of form that place in your career? When did you start, and what's your background as an editor?
Yeah, I got started in publishing as an intern at the Writers House Literary Agency, and from there became an editorial assistant at the William Morrow imprint at HarperCollins. And while I was there, William Morrow publishes a wide range of books as well. And I was always, assisting basically a fiction editor and a nonfiction editor. And, being an assistant that way and kind of moving up, working under bosses who acquired such a wide range of titles, really showed me the ins and outs of publishing, in a very like, unique way, and kind of prepared me for what I do now. And when I was an assistant editor and it was time for me to start acquiring books of my own, I found myself at this big imprint with a lot of fantastic editors who, had been publishing so widely for a while, and had to ask myself, what am I going to do to find a place of my own on this list? And part of that answer was to do graphic novels. And William Morrow doesn't traditionally, didn't traditionally publish graphic novels, but I kind of made the case to the publisher that graphic novels were growing, and there were a lot of articles coming out at that time talking about the growth in the graphic novel space. And I was able to make the argument that we should start publishing them, and no one else was doing that at William Morrow, so it was very much, a new avenue that I could own and explore. And so I started acquiring both fiction and memoir for, in terms of graphic novels at William Morrow. And so when 10 Speed was looking for an editor to do just that for 10 Speed Graphic, it felt like a very good fit.
When was that, Amaro, that you started picking up comics?
Oh gosh, that was in, I think, 2019, 2020.
Wow, so that's pretty recent, actually.
Yeah.
We talked about, so again, I had lunch weeks ago, and we talked about how familiar that is to me personally, because in 2006, 2005, somewhere in that time, I made a very similar argument at Houghton Mifflin at the time to, as a assistant editor, starting to acquire. And that's how I launched the Best American Comic series there. And it is really interesting to see that that is repeating again, don't know, like 10 years later, right? More. Because it's an interesting space for up and coming editors to find a list when there's an old guard house, really, when there's people who've been editing for so long and they've maintained certain positions or kind of territories, right? So did you moved right from Morrow as an assistant editor to a senior editor? Like, that's a great leap, right? Or did you have were you an editor in between?
I
Like
was an
a
associate editor and then made the leap.
okay. Yeah, but that's fabulous. I mean, just like, let me say congrats on the podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, really making some waves. So how do you go about scouting? Like, what are you doing to build up this list so quickly at 10 speed? Like, who are you mostly working with, agents? Or are you going after artists and authors directly?
It's a little bit of both. I think, I am constantly considering submissions from agents, and all of our editors are. A lot of the original fiction that I've acquired for our list that's coming out in the future, those are agented projects. At the same time, we are beginning to publish a number of webtoon series, and a lot of those began with me approaching creators directly. And finding a way to make those projects happen. I think one of the best stories I have of kind of finding a creator is actually not webtoon related at all. But for one of our graphic memoirs that's actually coming out in 2 weeks, it's called Advocate, and it's it, but it's about this environmental justice lawyer named Eddie Ahn, who is a Korean American immigrant, and his story of coming up in the nonprofit world, and facing all of these like major issues that the country is so aware of these days, from being on the front lines of COVID to the California wildfires and things like that. And I approached Eddie on Instagram actually, and asked if, and he had been publishing short stories, short autobiographical stories for a while there, and kind of made the case that he should turn them into a bigger memoir. And it took a while, but here we are, and the book's coming out in 2 weeks, and that's just really incredible. So, I guess I'd say, I'm constantly on the lookout for creators, both in your kind of traditional agent submission sense, but also outside of that. 10 Speed has started attending, different conventions and things. We were at Mocha just a few weeks ago, for example, and I always walk around the floor too, and try and find creators that way as well.
Did you find anyone good at Mocha?
I'm looking into people. We'll see what happens.
There's always somebody new at Mocha. I mean, they do a good job with that, actually. They have or it's people who've been there for a while but have a completely new book that they just saddle stitched and put on the table, and you're like, wait, this is
They really
amazing.
do. It's really incredible. And I've honestly, been going to Mocha for years, like since before I was in publishing. So it was really wild to be working the Penguin Random House booth there, all these years later, and to honestly see creators who I've bumped into like time and time again, and like had conversations with over the years, and to now connect with them as a senior editor. And some of them are agent and some of them aren't, and like see if something could work, because there's that longevity of meeting these creators for years and now being in a position to potentially make something happen. So
Right,
it's
the relationship
exciting.
shifts, right? That's interesting. It can be an issue in such a small industry, to particularly because people do move around at different houses. Did you bring any of your authors over from Morrow?
I wasn't able to now.
I see. Did you work on Heavyweight, by the way? We just reviewed it.
I did. I acquired Heavyweight.
Oh, well, if you haven't seen it, I got a star review. It's on the it just
I'm
went
so happy to
online.
hear that. Oh my gosh.
Like minutes ago, it went up.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'll
Oh
send
my
it to you later.
gosh. I
Yeah, reviewer
love
really
that.
loved it. Reviewer really loved it. We've been getting, a lot of the 10 speed graphic, not to, I know that feeling, of course, of a book that you probably had a hard time saying goodbye to, but is did not orphaned or no, orphaned, by the way, listeners, is a term sometimes used when an editor leaves a house and there's projects left that a new person takes on, but they can thrive regardless. They've been doing a great job with it, I have to say. The publicists have been really positive about it. So I'll send that to you later. But we've been reviewing most of 10 Speed Books, not everything. You know, we're not always able to cover it. But I would say, you know, you've definitely been like working with a lot of really cool and interesting cartoonists. So such a range. How do you go about editing comics artists? And you know, do you have a different relationship with somebody like Eddie Ahn, who you know you're coming in very early on the project, and someone more established you might be working with. I don't know exactly who on the list is, you know, your author, but not to that you don't have to call anybody out, but of course anecdotes are always appreciated.
I think my approach is largely the same, regardless of creator. I think one of my favorite things about being an editor is that kind of brainstorming call that you do with an author, where you have a sense of the story, but like this is your real opportunity to shape it more concretely. And there's just something about that I've always loved, and I feel like it does. Like most of my job is not those calls. A lot of it is just like the day-to-day emails and like getting books through the production process and all of that. But those moments where you can sit down with an author and really just dive into shaping the story is just really incredible. And that's a call I have with every author pretty much. From there, I like to work with authors in a way that works best for them. I really see myself as someone who's helping them shape their story into the best version it can be. And so if they have a particular working style, we find a way that that's going to work for them essentially. And it's been interesting working on graphic novels that there is such a wide range of approaches that creators bring to projects. And I think partly that depends on if you're working with someone who is doing the entire thing themselves. They are the author, they are the illustrator, they're doing the colors, letters, they're doing everything, versus working with a team of people. And it's been really interesting to work with teams of people and kind of be the facilitator of like getting a project from like script to illustration to color to letter. And we have an amazing design team that also helps with that process.
Yeah, you come out of prose editing before you started acquiring comics. So is that like a learning curve for you? Is that still a learning curve working with production folks more directly?
I think it's definitely been a little bit of a learning curve. I think, when I first started editing graphic novels, there was just so much more happening on the page. It was not just editing the text, obviously. So that was a learning curve. But honestly, I've always, have so much respect for our design teams and our, production teams, and, have from the start as an assistant where, they're the ones who are, on the ground, like problem solving as books are going through the production process. And there's always something that crops up that always gets resolved. And so working closely with design and production is something I've done my entire career. And so that step was a little more seamless, I think. And, but it has been a delight to be at 10 Speed Graphic and to work so much more closely with the designers than I did when I was working on prose books, where design is obviously an element, but you're not working with these like high-res files in Photoshop and all of that constantly.
Well,
So
and 10 Speed already published so many heavily illustrated books. I mean, I suppose Morrow had such a broad range as well, but you know, they 10 Speed has a lot of cookbooks, and so they might have already had some of the facility on their team, right? Like they're pretty familiar. This is me just projecting. I definitely worked with some publishers who predominantly did prose, who the shift to doing comics was like a rockier, you know, like just things like paperweight can really blow the minds.
I think, 10 Speed is known for illustrated books and is so good at doing them. And so, back when we started publishing graphic novels, our very first one was the comic book story of Beer. And that was, kind of adjacent to our cookbook line. And, we decided to take a chance on it. And it did really, really well. And that was part of why we began doing graphic novels, is because that book did really well. And we were already in a position to publish graphic novels and do these kind of high design books already. So that shift was pretty seamless, I think. And I'm talking about a time when before I was at 10 Speed Graphic, but 10 Speed really prides itself in the quality of publishing that it brings to every book that it does. And that definitely extends to 10-speed graphic and has always been part of our makeup.
So, can you get into the nuts and bolts to what's a typical print run? Do all the 10-speed books primarily sell in bookstores and then a little bit in the direct market, or is there like a do you guys are you guys really also aiming to get in the direct market with your comic shops?
I can't really speak to print runs. I think it really depends book by book. There's no real like number I can give you. But in terms of where our books are selling, I think they are available kind of everywhere books are sold. And I think that again goes back to our belief that anyone should be able to buy them, and they should be able to buy them regardless of where they specifically shop. Our books are available in your traditional retailers like Barnes and Noble and Amazon and such. But Penguin Random House has such a robust comic sales team that works with the direct market that our books are available there as well. And we're hoping for more pickup in places like Target and Walmart too in the future.
Yeah, I mean, PRH being a one of the major distributors now in the direct market obviously maybe gives you a certain advantage in that space. I mean, I'd be curious. So this is an interesting and thorny topic, but one, of course, I'm fascinated by, which is how are you navigating the relationship with the other imprints at PRH, right? So in the last, I don't want to estimate, a couple of years here, or even a year, there's Inklor, Random House Graphic, which is soon to have a manga outfit as well under Random House Graphic, right? They haven't announced details of that, but we know it's coming. And then obviously Pantheon, which was for years, the dominant player in literary comics. And it seems like other imprints sometimes do an occasional graphic novel, like Shokan, though that's part of they're affiliated really closely with Pantheon, right? So how does that work? I mean, this is you're working for a multinational, and they're trying out multiple imprints at once, really, right? So what's the relationship as stuff is coming in? Do you guys have rules about being in competition with each other, or just how are you navigating that conversation with agents while they're trying to decide, who to submit to?
That's a good question. I think basically we want more people reading comics, and more comics for everybody is a great thing. And it really just speaks to the consumer's appetite and interest in graphic novels that we have all of these imprints now. And I think, there might be some overlap that we have in some areas, but in others we don't. And I think ultimately we feel confident in our expansive front list and our well-established backlist. And I think 10-speed has a fantastic team, and we're focused on our growth. And I think that shows from the fact we're going to cons, we're releasing catalogs, we're building our presence, expanding our programming. And so, yeah, I think the competition is welcome and totally fine, and it's going to result in more comic books. We certainly can't publish them all. I'm just one person, and our team is only so big. So, I think there are so many great projects out there, and I'm just, glad that there are more graphic novel imprints in general at Penguin Random House and otherwise.
Do you guys have, this may not be something you can speak to, but I know this has been true in the past that like different imprints don't necessarily bid against each other. Do you guys have a notification process within PRH when different imprints have the same submission?
There's a bit of a process, yeah, that we follow.
Okay, interesting. Of course, I'd love to hear every single thing you could tell me about that, but I respect your hesitancy. So speaking of, getting to publish at a large house like PRH, what can an author and artist expect if they're published in terms of marketing support? Like, what do you feel like you guys offer, to a cartoonist who's thinking about where to place their work?
We have like a really, really excellent marketing director specifically for graphic novels, Paula Crespo, and a dedicated publicist as well, Maya Bradford. And they
Yay,
both,
Maya.
yay, Maya.
Yes, secretly on this call, but also long at Abrams Comic Arts and was, much loved.
Yeah, no, they're both fantastic. Joined the team last year shortly after 10-speed graphic launched, and they've been doing an amazing job of kind of broadening our reach in terms of marketing and publicity, and like just bringing in incredible expertise to how we market our books. And it is a wide range of books. So I
Right.
think
That's an acrobatic a request for that range of titles.
And they do an amazing job. So I think, and they have like a great team behind them too that has been, promoting our books, since before 10 Speed Graphic launched as well. So I know that they both collaborate with their teams when it comes to, approaching how to market and publicize our titles. And, I think the expertise they bring is a fantastic boon for us. And basically, like every single book has a dedicated marketer and publicist. A lot of times it is Lion Paolo, sometimes it's not, but there's a real team approach to what we do. And, authors can expect to have like a specific, marketing and publicity campaign for their title and, to be in direct contact with, the marketer and publicist as we get to the campaign stage of their book's publication.
So we talked about Eddie Ahn's book Advocate. Which, if you want to say more about it, go for it. We also reviewed that PW. The reviewer quite liked it. It's a big topic book, but grounded in very day-to-day experiences. What else do you have coming up that you're really pumped about? But Katie Cook's book is yours as well, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I know that that's a real fan favorite, actually, at PW. We had a rare Q&A with Katie that went directly online before the review came out, which usually we wait for to know what the review is like, but somebody was such a big fan in-house that they did the Q&A first.
I
Is
love
it?
to
Yeah, I was like, "Hey guys!"
hear it.
Like literally, I was like, "Wait, there's the Q&A up." Do you want to talk about Through the Elder Woods a little bit? Because that's a big webtoon hit, right? And it's the first in an it's the first in a series. This is the Nothing Special series number one, is Through the Elder Woods. Like, is number two coming up soon? Have you been a fan of Katie's for a long time?
I absolutely adore Nothing Special. It is just such a delight to read, and honestly, it was exactly what I was looking for as a fiction editor. In terms of like it takes tropes and puts them on their head, it's like a classic fantasy story. It's such a wonderful escape. And I have been a fan of Katie's for a while, and was thrilled to have it on submission. And it is a series. We have book two coming out this fall, actually, in
Oh, okay, great.
October. With more to follow next year, which is super exciting. Our entire list this year has been a really incredible blend of the nonfiction titles we're known for and a lot of the exciting fiction and memoir we're starting to publish. Our list includes two memoirs, the Ai Weiwei Zodiac memoir and Advocate by Eddie. And our fall list is predominantly fiction, which is a first for us and really exciting. And I can talk a little bit more about our fall list. Our biggest book this fall, or one of our biggest, is called Strange, Dark, and Mysterious by Mr. Ballin, who is a YouTube sensation who tells stories based on true events, about things like mysterious phenomena, true crime, unsettling occurrences. And he is such a captivating storyteller, and it's really exciting to have him publishing these, basically like a short story collection with us. And the art is so creepy and so cool and atmospheric. And then we're also launching, three hit webtoon series in addition to Nothing Special Volume 2. We have Castle Swimmer by Wendy Martin, Pseudo Armor by Purpa, and The Strange Tales of Oscar Zahn by Trai Vong. And they are each, they're all fiction and they're all, genre and so different from each other. In a way that is really exciting. Castle Swimmer, tells the story of two young mermen, who kind of reject their destinies and embark on this epic adventure full of, romance and danger. Pseudo Armor is more of a romanticy that follows a lady in waiting named Lucia as she kind of tries to obscure her identity in a budding romance, in a world that, well, I won't reveal too much, but it's fantastic. And then you have The Strange Tales of Oscar Zahn, which is almost like a little bit more of a short story collection. It follows the misadventures of like the world's greatest paranormal detective, Oscar Zahn, as he essentially helps spirits pass on to the afterlife, but he's a little paranormal himself too. He's literally like the top half of a skull and like a bowler hat and like trench coat. So there's like a bit of a bigger game afoot. as to like his own origin story and, why he is the way he is, essentially.
There's another webtoon with a assistant to a paranormal detective who's a pumpkin head. We just reviewed it. Do you know what I'm
Oh,
talking
really?
about? Yeah.
Amazing.
I'll send you that review too. That's a webtoon
Indeed.
and scrolled book, I'm almost positive. I don't have the review up because I wasn't planning to talk about it until just this minute. But I mean,
All good.
clearly webtoons have certain tropes, right? Like,
They do, yeah.
yeah.
It's been really exciting to work on these webtoon projects. I mean, these creators are all, so incredible. They're amazing storytellers. Their comics have followers for a reason, and it's just been fantastic to work on them.
The it's Third Shift Society. This is
Oh,
the
okay.
one. There's like a paranormal. It's just interesting. They apparently they both have weird heads.
Get
Between
that.
the two, Meredith Moriarty. It was an Eisner nominated actually. It's like best web comic. So, speaking of webtoons, can we talk about YA lit versus young adult? Is Katie Cook's book considered younger adult? It's not YA. Because you guys are doing entirely adult.
Well, Ten Speed Graphic is publishing a range of titles. I mean, my focus is largely adult, but a lot of our titles, but also like YA as well. A lot of our titles, including the webtoons I just listed, are, I think in that YA adult crossover
The
space, which
crossover
is,
space, right? Because we
yeah.
publish them as adult. This is a big thing at PW. We're always like, you got to pick a lane for what it is, at least as a primary category, because we have two different departments.
Right.
One is adult, one is children's. But so many books are crossing over, right, from comics, which is why I have this conversation so much.
Yeah.
So Katie Cook reads pretty junior, right, in a sweet way. It's got like, it's clearly looking for that spot, right, for whatever, like, 16 to 25 and up. Do you can like I guess I don't even know what my question is, other than it's like a conundrum for publishing, like what to call these books. But what's your thinking around it? Do you work with the children's marketing team on them? Like, how do you practically handle that?
Well, Ten Speed is on the adult side, so all of our books are sold by our adult sales team.
Right.
And I think, our it's a tough question.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no, I mean it. I think there is some frustration there in how the industry, kind of has split everything up into children and adults, because I think a lot of readers don't read like that. I think Nothing Special is a good example of that. And it has a broad readership. I kind of consider it, all ages almost is how it's, mentioned on Webtoon itself. But I think, I'd say Ten Speed largely publishes YA and adult, and a lot of our stuff falls at crossover. And we kind of tackle each one as it comes. Yeah.
So you might formally have some titles that are considered young adult, and we'll go into that by
Yeah.
Zach.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There are some that I've acquired that are specifically YA titles.
Coming
There's
up.
some coming up. Yeah. Yeah. In the future. Some original fiction is specifically YA. We also just, brought on a new editor to Ten Speed, not Ten Speed Graphic, but Ten Speed in general, named Jeannie So. I don't know if you've heard about her, but she is starting to publish children's books for Ten Speed, and some of those are going to include graphic novels that will fall under the Ten Speed Graphic list. So, I'd say we started out as like largely YA adult publisher, and now as Jeannie starts acquiring, we are probably going to have some younger graphic novels on our list as well.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, if that firms up, it'd be good to get that news over to the children's publishing side at PW. Not to dr bring our podcast listeners into my daily tasks, but like that, I think that's something that folks on the kids side at PW would want to know about.
Definitely.
So you told us a little bit about what you have coming up. Before I ask you this next question, I have a circle back again to say about these webtoon books. How are you seeing them selling? Right, like this is a big growth area. So as an editor who has acquired one, it's come out like what, like 6 months now, and you have a bunch of them on your fall. What are, is it proving out that as many of these webtoons that have already been read online or are also finding an audience in print? Like, how are the sales looking for Katie Cook's book, for example?
I can't speak directly to sales. Also, Nothing Special came out just a month ago.
Oh, it's just a
So
month ago. Sorry,
just a
I'm
month
behind.
ago, it came out March 5th. So it's still very early days. I will say though that, I think that readership, the Webtoon readership, is looking for print editions. I mean, you can talk about Lore Olympus and like see that as like actual, proof. That book has obviously done so well, but we've also experienced it so far with Nothing Special, Volume 1, where we brought it to Emerald City Comic Con and were able to sell it early, and it did really well there. It was amazing to see, and we actually, we've been publishing pretty much all of our fiction largely, but particularly our Webtoon projects are publishing in both a trade paperback and hardcover simultaneously. And I think the trade paperback is, has that lower price point. It's, more welcoming to readers who might not be familiar with the series, but then you still have the hardcover edition for hardcore fans who like kind of want that like kind of nicer package. And at Emerald City, Katie attended and had a booth at Artist Alley and did some signings for us, and we sold out of our hardcovers.
Oh, that's great. So you're getting a lot of interest already, even just on the ground at shows. Did you go to Emerald City? How was it? Did you have a good
It
time?
was great. Yeah, it was great. It was my first time there, and it was an amazing show. And I can understand, it seems like it's like well beloved by creators, and I can understand why. It's so approachable. The conference room, conference space was great, and there was just like such a fantastic array of creators there. And it was awesome to have our booth and to honestly hand sell titles. It's always fascinating as an editor. Because that's like an interaction that I don't often get to have. And it was honestly incredible to see like fans literally like running from Katie's Artist Alley booth to, the PRH booth and like looking for Nothing Special and like, texting friends and saying like, it's here, like, do you want me to buy you a copy? And like buying multiple copies, like multiple hardcovers,
That's
multiple
great.
paperbacks, was amazing. So that was like an amazing way to launch this first Webtoon series of ours. And we're just more excited for everything coming this fall as well, including Nothing Special too.
Well, happy 1 month book anniversary, or however it is, for Nothing Special. It's our interview with her went up 6 months ago. That's why I've been thinking of it for 6 months
Oh
now.
yeah. That's the
But we are
funny
in
thing about
advance
being
of
in
pub
publishing.
magazines. I'm always like running 6 months behind. So who are artists you're watching? Like, what are some voices you think you're looking for to fill, like, gaps you're filling on your list? Or types of artists, if you don't want to, tell anybody who hasn't heard from you yet that you have your eye on them. What a way to find out an editor is
I
looking.
know, truly. I mean, I think there is a lot of room for memoir on our list. We've definitely like acquired more fiction, I'd say, than memoir at this point. So I am definitely looking to acquire more memoir. And then for fiction, I think we're really interested in exploring genre. We have some horror on our list, like The Strange Tales of Oscar Zahn and the Mr. Ballin book, Strange, Dark, and Mysterious, and are looking to publish more of that. We're really interested in romance and seeing how that can work. I think that could be like a really exciting space, and like what does that look like for adult readers, for example, is like a question. But genre in general, I'd say, is really interesting. And I mean, personally, as an editor, I look for books that can like break out of like I think you see books as like being for a graphic novel reader, and I'm looking for books that have a broad reach,
For any reader.
for any reader, and that's kind of 10 Speed's goal, and just books that are that like anyone will want to pick up essentially,
But how do you define that accessibility? Like, is it because you feel like the topics are going to appeal to a larger general readership, or do you feel like the readership itself is changing?
I think it's both. I think the graphic novel readership is clearly there and growing, and expanding. Accessibility, It's hard to define. It's a good question. It's hard to define. It's something that I continue to ask myself as an editor. It's something I ask every time I read a submission or approach someone.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's there's an argument being made, right, that webtoons are breaking open this brand new readership. Like it's growing, literally growing up a readership. And that omnivorous is what we often use the term omnivorous readership is not concerned about format, right? But I do wonder because I think with so many different publishers launching, we hear actually from retailers like about a concept of a glut on the market or trying to like divide readers' attention or that there's a lot of competition between imprints. And I guess that kind of leads to the question I have, right? Which is how, if you have a comics fan or somebody who's like read Nothing Special and wants to know what's next, you know, what could readers do who are getting into the space to help support new ventures like 10 Speed Graphic? Like, what is the ways that publishers are looking to get fans to help them in the work they're doing, to have a partnership with them?
And I think one of the things we're doing is trying to build our online presence in general. And I think, our authors help with that. A lot of them have large followings. And I think the key is, for us in terms of support is pre-orders. Getting fans to pre-order the books. I think it is such a small space, and I think a lot of creators know each other. So I think there's also a lot of support there for each other's books, which I think is important.
Are you yourself like on social media? Is there places that our listenership can
No, actually.
follow you, Vatica? You're like, keep me out of it.
I take my work life and personal life balance pretty seriously, and so I don't have an online presence. And early on I was told, you have to have a Twitter, it's really important, no one's gonna be able to find you if you're just an assistant, and I kind of rejected that immediately, honestly, for my own mental health and well-being, and decided that I was just gonna be more aggressive when it came to networking if I needed to. And that's clearly worked out. So I'm sorry, listeners, you can't follow me anywhere, but definitely go follow 10 Speed Graphic on Instagram and
But it
everywhere
sounds
else.
like they could find you at a conference, is what you mean. Like that's what networking means, right? Networking. I can't get the word out, sorry. You're going to places then in person to meet
Yes.
artists.
Yes, that is true. I am, attending conferences. I am like on the ground. I'm on the ground. I'm not online. I can be found. Just not online.
But do follow 10 Speed Graphic if you want to keep an eye on that fall list that Vedic has been telling us about. And did you want to ask me any questions? Anything else you want to say before we close up the conversation?
There's actually one more book I wanted to highlight on our fall list,
Please
if I
do.
could take a moment. It's called Big Jim and the White Boy, and it's a reimagining of Huckleberry Finn from the point of view of Jim, who's an enslaved man on his journey to freedom. And I wanted to mention it because, it is fiction, but it stands out as like being very different from, the webtoon series we have on our list. And I think, it's more of a, quote unquote, traditional, 10 Speed Graphic title, and more similar to what we've published in the past, maybe. We're incredibly excited for it. And, like I think that kind of rounds out our fall list as one that is both like the new 10 Speed Graphic with its, like highly commercial fiction, webtoons, webtoon conversions, and, something like Big Jim and the White Boy also fits on our list. Yeah, I think this fall list is going to be really big for us, and I'm really, really excited for it. And I'm so thrilled with your support, Meg, in general.
Oh, thank you. I always say, you know, everyone I'm sure has heard me say this on the podcast before. I'm the reviews editor. I'm not writing the reviews. So we have an amazing stable of completely anonymous reviewers who I will thank in turn, you know, for the time they take looking at every book. And then, you know, no one can get personally angry at me if they don't like their book's reviews. No, of course they can because I'm still the editor. But I do think we have very talented and invested readers who are actually taking such a close look at these books. But no, I'm delighted to whatever way possible. You know, it's really exciting to me personally to see newer editors entering the industry, you know, and you've been in it a while now, but this is like I said, it's pretty impressive rise actually to get to this place so quickly, and it sounds like you're doing incredible work. So, three cheers. Also, three cheers for having good work-life separation. I'm very impressed.
Thank you. I try. I try. I'm not always great at it, but I do try.
Yeah, well, you're getting work done and then managing that. And I think that's really impressive. And I don't know. I'll just say off the cuff here that a lot of what people tell younger editors and younger publishing professionals is just not accurate. Like the standard advice, right?
That's true. That is true.
I think we often hear that somebody said, "Well, here's the way to do it," and you take a different approach. And it sounds like you put that work into the books, into the relationships, and that's maybe more how you advance rather than trying to kind of go out there with that like constant crowdsourcing. You know, I get there's a lot of people going and saying, "I'm looking for, does anybody have the next book about flowers? Like, hit me up at this email address." It's just a kind of fascinating phenomenon. It seems like maybe there's a different, that is a more traditional route, what you're describing, like relationship building in real time.
There is, the graphic novel industry is small, but the publishing industry is small too, and it is kind of like everyone kind of knows everyone ultimately, and it's a social industry, and how you socialize can depend on what works for you, and that's what I found. You're right about the advice that people get, and I think, ultimately publishing, like any industry, is like you have to be committed to stay there and to be in it, and you have to find a way to do that in a way that works for you, basically, because burnout is real, and we do see a lot of people leaving the industry.
Right. No, that's kind of underneath what we're talking about here, that part of the reason why I'm excited to champion folks coming up is that because there's such a long apprenticeship often in the editorial role, people aren't able to get to the position of building a list like you are because they can't either afford to stay like emotionally, essentially, or not getting the promotions that allow them financially to do that. And so I'm just, it's great to see that happening and to such a talented editor. So congrats. And thank you, More to Come listeners. So this is not More to Come, PW Comics World's weekly podcast. I'm Meg Lemke, and we'll see you all next week. Thanks again, Vedika. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This was such a blast, and I really appreciate the time.
Oh, absolutely. Okay.